Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, or good morning, or good afternoon, depending on whenever time you're listening to this. This is the One Seat Buffer podcast, Avengers Infinity War, right after seeing it, episode niner. This is Tony Tone.
I'm Joel Krause. Are you calling from a walkie-talkie right now?
Steve Truitt.
Okay, we're sitting in the party room at the Palmstown Movie Theater, and at this very moment, again, I know that you're going to watch this or listen to this at a different time, but at this very moment, it is currently 10:32 p.m., and there are people still waiting for their refreshments in the lobby who are heading into the 10:30 Avengers Infinity War.
Please leave that in.
Of whom are people that we know. So we just got out of it, and I'm laughing because, we're in a small room. Not a lot of ventilation.
Because we just got hotboxed.
That's right. So we just got out of Avengers Infinity War in our screening, which was at 7:30. There were about 25 to 30 people. The two screenings before us, there were over 125 in each.
150 in the first one.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Such a good turnout for this. It's 10 years in the making. I just want to start by saying this is spoiler free. So if you made it this far, you can continue because I don't want to spoil anything because hopefully we get this out in enough time that where people are still seeing this movie, you know?
We'll have to do a second one, though, where we talk about
please,
what
please.
Here's what happened.
The nerd in me wants to have a second one so bad so I can just go off
Deadpool
spoiler.
We could do
got real awkward. That guy's doing
I believe all the Fox properties that they bought showed up in this film.
So I just, I'll say that I remember very well seeing Iron Man 10 years ago, and Marvel all of a sudden mattered again with Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. It was such a pleasant surprise. I believe Jeff Bridges was the antagonist, the villain in that first movie.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, Ironmonger.
Ironmonger. So after that, they were kind of off to the races. You know, they stubbed their toe a couple times, but boy, you can't really say that out of all the movies, you know,
something crazy like that.
Leading up to this, that they have gotten it right and they've gotten it wrong.
I think we have technology here that'll tell us that real quick. I think Joel might be.
I'm looking up the NFL draft.
So I just think that you should go see Avengers Infinity War. The question that I think a lot of people are wondering is, do I need to have seen all of the movies leading up to this over the last 10 years? Steve, you're like the resident expert. What would your response be?
No, I don't think so. I think if you're just starting getting into the Marvel movies, definitely don't need a starting point. This is jumping right into this. I mean, they do a pretty good job of telling you who all the characters are as soon as they walk in. And and if you know anything even remotely about pop culture, you can figure out who Spider-Man and Captain America are.
It was really cool to see all of these just iconic characters sort of meet each other in sometimes the most crashing way. So that was fun. I enjoy that sort of bringing together. Now, certainly we knew about how some of these interactions were going to go, mainly when Bruce Banner falls through and there's Doctor Strange. So, and I'll say that that Benedict Cumberbatch, he is wonderful. And my wife thinks he's dreamy. Travis, who's the GM of the Palmstown Movie Theater, just came in because the 10:30 seating is in there. We're going to back up just a second. You've been busy this evening. How is it going? You're still standing. You're not asleep. This is good.
It's been absolutely insane. This has been probably the busiest show, hands down, that we've had since I've been here over almost a year ago now. So it's been absolutely fantastic. If you haven't seen it, obviously this is a movie you have to see because everybody's coming to see it.
Not only that, but everybody's going to be talking about it. And we're keeping this one spoiler free because it's still so new. But yeah, this is going to be that conversation. And the last thing you want to do is when you're on the internet and you see an article, especially if it's on Facebook, don't click where it says comment because some rude right. person.
And if you have something to say, please don't post it on right. social media. At least give it a week before you say something.
Somebody will. I mean, I
like
saw
when the Kool-Aid man comes right through. And no, sorry. That's Family Guy.
Oh,
that's
yeah. not. It's just don't
Stay Puff Marshmallow Man. Is that,
stay no. away.
Don't be from don't the be comments. That person. Don't be that guy.
So yeah, it's a very well done movie, Avengers: Infinity War. The Russo brothers know what they're doing, and that started with Captain America: Winter Soldier,
which I believe is actually probably, aside from this one, the best Marvel movie that was put out.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people would disagree. I mean, that was so great.
I just think the story and the cinematography and the and everything, the screenplay was just so well done.
Yeah, it's great, but Ant-Man's my favorite.
Oh, you can't.
Anytime you can have a giant Thomas the Train come through a house.
I think the thing is, too, is like, so I don't have the comic book background, sure, per se, growing up. I didn't read comic books. I didn't read books, mm-hmm, per se. That's what I like so much about these movies, though, is you understand. I feel like I did read some of the comics because they do such a good job of storytelling. The screenwriters of these movies, they don't treat it like an action movie. They treat it like almost like a drama, and you'll see that when you see this movie. There are some real heavy hitting, literary, parallels. There's absolutely lots of metaphor in this movie, and it wasn't just, they used the fun vehicle of comic books to really tell a pertinent and current story that has, we all have seen the history of kind of what is being told through this movie.
Sure, I think Marvel does a good job at that. DC is just now starting to pick up on the fact that, right, if you're going to make a comic book movie, you should probably get the advice of comic book creators involved because they can actually tell the story because they've wrote it hundreds of times and are still writing them. And I think DC is just now finally starting to get on that bandwagon where they are enlisting the advice of comic book creators and writers.
So if we go 10 years back, though, we're 2008, and that's when The Dark Knight came out. So DC was king, right? I mean, Dark Knight, absolutely, made $1 billion. For a while, it was one of the top grossing movies ever. And in just 10 years, Marvel has totally dominated when it comes to these characters, these comics on the big screen. And what I think is so telling of how well they've done is when you can sit in a theater like we are right now, the Palmstown in Muscatine, Iowa, and I talked about this, Travis. I mean, you had over 110, 20, 30, 40, 50 people in single viewings tonight. So that's what I'm saying. Like, this opens up, and you can expect it to be busy. You can be prepared for it to be packed. But the fact that you're going to see several of these faces 2, 3, 4 times again, that's what's going to happen, right?
I'll be here Saturday.
That's definitely what's going to be happening. I know people who have 3, 4 tickets. There's a guy who bought tickets to the movie tonight and set up a party for this movie as well.
So he'll be in this party room where we're recording this podcast right
now. I don't know if I think the party he's setting up is going to have its own private showing because he has so many people coming to it.
Wow.
So, and that's just one person who knows he's going to be coming to the movie twice. So, that's how much, what this movie is going to be, is just this absolutely fantastic, this fantastic social experience that everybody's going to have with it. It's not just going and watching the movie. It's the social experience that's going to be with this movie that I think is going to really make this movie absolutely fantastic above the screenplay and everything else.
And I think Marvel does a really good job of making their movies very welcoming for people, even if, like Joel said, even if they don't know comic book history and they're not comic book fans, people can walk in and sit down, and Marvel does a really good job of laying the story out for you and explaining what needs to be explained so that you don't feel lost in the story.
And just weaving all of these characters into this movie, because you didn't just have the main character. You had the Spider-Man, the Doctor Strange, this character, as they slowly all kind of entered into this storyline.
Sure.
Using the supporting characters from each movie, so there was almost their sidekick from their own standalone projects were also in this, and that helped kind of bring some context and really make it not patchwork. It was very, oh, yeah, very well.
This is like a quilt.
Yeah, it was. It's a very good analogy.
It's like a very well done quilt that you would see at grandma's house or hanging at a county fair. Each square is connected, and it's a solid connection, right?
Yeah,
the connective tissue is strong. And you think about all these movies that you've watched, and all the post credits and mid credit scenes, and how it's all sort of just fit perfectly. And it didn't have to happen that way. Certainly, we've seen Thanos. How many alliterations have we seen Thanos? His look has changed 3 or 4 times up until this Avengers Infinity War.
Sure.
The first time we saw him was after the first Avengers?
Side profile, I think. You just got the quick grin view of Josh Brolin, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that was what, 2012 was the first Avengers? It was a while ago. 6 years ago, so they've just...
Can we also just say that this is not only is this the kickoff of kind of the summer movie season. I know we're in April and we finally just got some warm days here for the first time, but this is that big kick to the movie season. And this is a huge year for it, but it's also the kickoff to what the next 3 of the next 7 big releases that are coming out have Josh Brolin in it. It's ridiculous.
No doubt.
Summer of Brolin.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is No Country for Old Men 2 coming out. I mean, what are we dealing with here?
That guy's making a lot of money. I mean, because Travis, Deadpool 2 will be, I don't know if it'll be as busy as
I
this.
I do enjoy the trailers of Deadpool making reference to Josh Brolin and how many comic book acting gigs he's getting.
Yeah.
Are you selling tickets for Deadpool 2 already?
We have our premiere show. I think it's on the 17th open already. So just the Thursday night show open already.
We'll
we have tickets sold to it, and I am hoping to be getting the first week open here pretty soon.
When do you get Sicario Day of the Soldado? Because that's the other Josh Brolin thing that's coming out.
I don't think we're getting that one.
I want to because Sicario is so good.
We might. I can never guarantee anything that we're going to get or not get. I mean, that's a huge one.
That's just the other.
Hey, but Brolin. You're going to have book clubs, so that's good for all those Diane Keaton fans. No, but seriously, I want to come back to Josh Brolin because he's certainly – a great actor, very talented, and you know, Marvel again come talking about casting and the choices that they've made in all of these movies over the last 10 years. A lot of surprises along the way. I think if they don't surprise you with their casting choices, they absolutely floor you when it comes to who they pick to direct these movies. And you think a James Gunn that did Romeo and Juliet is gonna do a movie?
Absolutely.
And then when you watch Avengers Infinity War, when the Guardians of the Galaxy show up, you knew that was going to happen. All of those scenes were written by James Gunn. So that's the other part. Like, the Russo brothers very much in charge, but also understanding, like, hey, James Gunn, you're talented. You want to write this part? And I don't even know some of the other examples of people that they brought into the fold for this.
Growing up watching trauma movies, I never expected to see a trauma alumni making a blockbuster like Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's just wild. So yeah, so Brolin does what he does. You know, Thanos is this looming character that has the Infinity Gauntlet, and he's after some stones. And some of the early reactions when they had a trailer come out, people thought maybe it was too much CGI, but you know, we saw it in 3D, and I would say that he looked great.
And that's always been the knock on these movies is the CGI villain's terrible. Like, James Spader as Ultron was awful.
Right.
But, yes, he's a CGI character, but they did a really good job of making it feel like it was like – I felt like you were almost watching like a Star Trek movie or Star Trek with, you know, Captain Kirk of the old days with William Shatner, where the makeup – it almost looked like it was Josh Brolin in makeup, not – you know, a CGI figure.
Even the Black Order, Thanos' generals, Ebony Maw and Proxima Midnight and Corvus Glaive, even the non-human looking type characters, I think they even did a really good job with the CGI on them to where they didn't look really hokey or cartoony. I think they made them believable. Very, very well done there, too.
There's also a lot of different set locations. You know, they filmed in different places, and if you had heard or read about it along the way, you maybe wondered what were they doing there. So that, you know, that's something that I think that's maybe where the Russo brothers come into play, because you think about some of the choices that they made, and because they directed Civil War, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Captain America Winter Soldier. So it's almost like they want to use these set pieces to add to the storyline. Now, certainly when they show up in Wakanda, fictional location, but I'll tell you what, when they started to, and that's not a spoiler, you knew the Black Panther was going to be in it.
Yeah, everyone's in this
movie. You've seen the trailer. You kind of know that something happens in Wakanda forever. Wakanda forever, by the way. I don't know if I can say that or not, but I just did.
Why wouldn't you be able to?
When they started playing that theme music to Black Panther, I was like, yes, I was so excited because we're just off of the heels of Black Panther. And it was such a great movie. And you're like, yes, this guy's brand new, relatively speaking. Right?
I was thinking this poor guy doesn't get a break. He literally just
I wonder if they
Wakanda.
Just shot.
He just became King of Wakanda. Now he's got this enormous intergalactic war that he's fighting now.
Are you kidding me? And they make it. There's so many good one-liners in this movie.
Oh, boy.
And there's a great one referencing that topic right there with the – I'm not going to spoil that. But
yeah.
I felt bad for the people sitting in front of us because I was laughing loud. There's a lot of big laugh lines.
And I don't really think that they were forced laughs either, which I love about these movies, is that they add humor with the action and the drama, but it's not forced to where it's like, oh, God, really? And like I'm waiting for a laugh track in behind me because it's so forced.
Well, because
it's not at all.
If they don't write that in, we're watching Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
that's how serious this
the tone of this
movie
is. Definitely a lot more serious than any of the other Marvel movies. Aside from Winter Soldier, it definitely does have a serious tone to it.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that the thing, too, is one question I've always asked as we've started this podcast, which we're still in the infancy stage of the 1C Buffer podcast, is with movies like this, I have parents will ask me, you know, should I take my kids to it? Like, I have a 7-year-old son who's really, he's waiting for the report tomorrow at breakfast as to whether or not this is going to be the one that he gets to finally go see. And for me, the answer is no way in hell is my first grader going to see this movie. Even though he's familiar with all the characters, and I'm sure some of his classmates are going to see it. I mean, it is dark, it is intense, and I mean, I think that they pushed that PG-13 rating. I honestly think it's tough
because Liam's asking the same questions at home. He wants to come see it Saturday with me, and leading up to it, I'm thinking, even with the action and intense scenes and stuff like that, he's watched, you know, Avengers and he's watched Iron Man and a few others. But this one's definitely has a different tone to it. So I'm still kind of up in the air. I don't know if it's a strong no yet or I'll have to weigh out the options.
My gut is like fifth grade. It's maybe where I would. I mean, and I may be a little bit more conservative, but that's just me.
It definitely. I mean, obviously, people going into it know that just from what they've heard and what they've read on the internet, there has to be some kind of conclusion to what's been going on over the last 10 years. So I'm sure that the idea of there's going to be some sort of deaths in this movie have come up. So, without being giving out spoilers, it was definitely, something that I could see my 8-year-old looking at and just being completely horrified watching.
Braveheart-esque battle scenes.
It's definitely very adult themed for a PG-13 rating.
Yeah, and I do that for my sister all the time. Like, tell her, no, this is not a movie you take your kids to. This is a movie you take your kids to. The one thing to always remember is it an at-home watch with your kids movie, or is it a take it to your kids to the theater kind of kids movie?
That's a good point.
Because a lot of these Marvel movies are not the kind of movie that are appropriate for kids to go and watch, because you're not going to be able to stop the movie. You're not going to be able to sit down and be like, this is fiction. This is not real. This is something that, you know, we do for entertainment. You can't have that conversation with your kid in that moment. Whereas in at home, you can do all of that.
I'm definitely that parent that sits in the theater and looks at the other parent that has their 5 or 6-year-old watching Kong Skull Island. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
When Tony and I saw It, there was a kid who was like 6 years old sitting in front of me.
I don't want there to be a guy.
I don't even want to watch It again.
I don't want there to be a guy two rows up looking at me saying, right, look at this guy. He's got his 8-year-old in here. Yeah. But so it's still up in the air. I still have a little
and a smuggled in bottle of Cholula.
You know what? I completely forgot about that. When I went to see Deadpool, I was actually in Iowa City. I was getting ready. It was when I was getting ready to donate bone marrow. And so we went to see the movie Sunday night there, and there were so many little kids in there. I'm like, it is a strong R, and you're bringing your
second graders back
in here
to get it to R. Like,
the number of third graders that I let into that movie because their parents went with them was ridiculous. Every single one of them, I'm like, you realize that this has an R rating for literally every possible thing. It could have an R rating for.
Yeah, this by far is not as bad as Deadpool. Right.
No, and that's two totally different movies.
That is not a spoiler. This is not as.
Well, and Deadpool was rated R for language and the montage scene through the months. That's basically why that.
Right. Drugs.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that those wanting to go to Deadpool 2, it's probably going to be the same thing.
I just can't wait. And honestly, so as serious as this movie was, like my gut is I wish that there was like an 11 o'clock showing of Super Troopers 2 because I'd be walking just to kind of like cleanse
just to
my
cheer
palace.
Up the mood, yeah.
Because, I mean, this is heavy.
How about
the night
that Steve and his wife Karma and I, we saw Wolverine and then we went to Get Out.
Was it with Logan? You went and saw Logan and then saw Get Out?
It was like depressing to really uncomfortable I don't even think we could really talk about the movies after we left that night. It was just kind of like, hey, I think we can just leave it at this.
But at least one was awful, and I still haven't made it through Logan. I've fallen asleep every single time I've tried to watch it.
It's not better, though.
Get Out, I mean.
Different genre, per se. But let me just say, Avengers Infinity War, 2 hours and 40 minutes. It's a long one. And I'm just going to read off some names because all these folks are in it. You know this already, but Robert Downey Jr., Chris Pratt, Chris Evans, Josh Brolin, Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson, Benedict Cumberbatch, Tom Holland, Elizabeth Olsen, Zoe Zeldana.
There you go.
Don't screw that up.
Mark Ruffalo, Dave Bautista. I'm going to kind of skip some because I don't want to give away because I feel like some of these. Tom Hiddleston, Anthony Mackie, and Chadwick Boseman, of course. Bradley Cooper as the famous Rocket.
There are actually,
it's just such a powerhouse.
There were a couple of people I'm glad you didn't list because there are a couple of turns in there where it's like, where did this character come from?
The person who stole the movie for me, and he's not a super well-known actor, I think, amongst the mainstream, but Tom Lawler, who played what was the name? Ebony Maw.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy, to me, I fixated on him. Like, whenever he was in the scene, at first I thought his voice was Christopher Guest. I was like, is that Christopher Guest? What's going on here? But he really was impressive to me. And did you take notes while we were in the theater?
Hey, that's why I brought Steve, because Steve knows the source material so
well. And I took notes, and I know the source material well enough to have a short conversation about it, but I really don't like internet trolls, and I really didn't want someone to listen to this podcast and be like, oh, you got
that
wrong. Let me tell you exactly how it was.
I don't even know.
Back in my day.
I just would call them like Thanos
issue
goons,
3 of Infinity Gauntlet. So this is
some,
what happened.
That's some Nashville level comments right
that
there.
Ebony... whatever his name,
Ebony Maw.
He was great. He was really great. I mean, just sort of this menacing figure. A very nice compliment to Thanos, right?
Yeah.
Sort of like his, I guess Ebony would be like his right-hand man, so to speak.
Yeah. In the comics, Proxima Midnight, Ebony Maw, and Corvus Glaive all make up the Black Order in Thanos' group. They don't really go into too much explanation on those characters, but... they were all handpicked by Thanos to be his generals because he's Thanos and he's all-knowing and smart.
He needs a crew.
Ebony Maw is kind of the thinker of the group. Strategist. The others are just muscle.
Yep.
Proxima Midnight is kind of a superior warrior. I think she matches
great.
Up well with... I just forgot her name. Michonne from Walking Dead.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Kinda, she's kind of like the evil version.
She's
of her,
great.
She's like
I think
the evil
actress's name is like Denai or something. Yeah. she's so great. And I'll tell you this again: a well balanced. You know, the thing to say or the critic's thing is, well, it's bloated or it's overfilled with too many people. Right, but we knew it was going to happen, and it's how you bring them all together. And what I was getting at is that I was very pleased with the representation for the young ladies because, again, while we're not talking about taking maybe a 5 or 6 or 7-year-old boy or girl, however, there's a lot of strong female characters again, and isn't
very
that great?
So. It's amazing.
Right? And they kick some butt in this. Again, spoiler free. So Marvel is very self-aware, for sure. And they know that they have this giant movie that they want to be able to appeal to everybody.
And they couldn't have predicted that it would be the same day that these strong female characters would be the same day that Bill Cosby was found guilty of his
of his mess.
That did happen today, April 26th. Yeah. So, all right. So we come back to Infinity War, 10 years in the making. A great cast. The effects are top-notch. This movie probably cost $300 million to make, but they're going to bring that back.
Oh, probably made it. They probably made that in the next 10 minutes.
They probably made that today, like for the first showing, first premiere showing. Probably made that.
Can you imagine the Thursday record that's going to be set? Because they always talk about that, and it's always like, wow, that movie, Thursday night record, $25 or $30 million. This is going to be $100 maybe?
I don't know. I've never had a Thursday night that has had this many people. And that's being said, that since they started the Thursday night premiere, like fad, where every movie has a Thursday night premiere, this is the first time I've had this many people. So maybe back in the day when it was, oh, we're releasing Harry Potter, and it's going to be the biggest premiere, and it's the only premiere that's going to happen all summer long. That one was – those might have been bigger as far as number of people. But
I just wonder what the Thursday premiere of Pitch Perfect 3 was.
Nowhere near this. Nowhere near.
Yeah, what was the – so what was – is it popcorn? Did you go through more popcorn than anything else tonight?
I would assume so. I haven't had a chance to go and count. That's what I'm going to do as soon as I'm done with this.
Count. You have to count every kernel. I went with a pretzel beverage, Dr. Pepper, and then because it was a big movie, I got Milk Duds. I normally don't. I just normally stick to the one item, but I felt like Thanos would want me to have Milk Duds, right?
Well, then you're sitting in a three-hour movie. You're going to need some sustenance to stay away.
It's a long one. But again, there was a point. I'm trying to think of how I can talk about this. There was a point where, because there's all these sort of subplots that are working together, and there's groups of characters, and they're doing different things. And at one point, I was like, where the hell are Iron Man and Spider-Man and a couple other people? Like, where did they go? And then there they come. So just when you think they're like, wait, just when you forget as the moviegoer that all these people are in this, then they just kind of have them woven back in.
Well, and I think the thing with this movie is that I really enjoyed was the fact that the secondary and even the third string characters in the Marvel universe played just as big a part as Captain America or Thor or Iron Man. Mm-hmm. They didn't. It wasn't just a you know an Iron Man movie or a Captain America movie.
Right.
You know, they were each part of an integral part of the story that needed to be dealt with in order to have a final resolution.
And I think one of the things that I took away from it is that the storytelling was almost theatrical because, like, you know, you go to a musical or you go to a Broadway play or you see some of these, you know, Shakespeare or, you know, these higher level, what some people would consider a higher level literary concept.
A highfalutin type show.
Right. But one of the things when you go to a Broadway play, it's a lot of times you'll walk away like a secondary character has the song that you remember the most, and the director frames that scene because there's such a great performance or it's such a good text or it's such a good monologue or what have you that they focus on that. I felt like the Russo brothers did such a nice job of, hey, this is truly a collaboration. This isn't a Steve Rogers story. This isn't a Black Panther story. This isn't even a Thanos story. It was every single entity worked together, and I think the challenge is, I remember a book that I had to read in high school, As I Lay Dying by William Faulkner, which every single chapter is written from a different person's perspective. And so as the reader, you have to try and figure all that out, which I feel like that is a complicated thing with a movie like this where you have all these different characters. The screenwriters and the directors did such a nice job of not making it feel like you had these disjointed aspects. They all tied it in together. And some of that was done in the editing room. The editing in this movie was outstanding.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I tell you what.
And
you
know, I think that more secondary characters had more to do with continuing the plot of the story than some of the main characters. Like Captain America and Iron Man almost felt secondary in a lot of the story.
Yes. Sorry, I got the giggles again.
Spoiler alert, Tony's farting.
Spoiler alert.
I can't help it. Jesus. It feels like the radio studio all over again.
Oh, Lord help us. The One Seat Bumper podcast brought to you by Bubble Guts.
Brought to you by Petulance.
Yeah, so, okay. There's a lot of superheroes.
There's a lot going on. The action is there. There's definitely incredible sequences for sure. This is a tough movie to get up and go to the bathroom during. I'm just going to say it. And I was nursing the large Dr. Pepper. And I normally get through it. And as a 34-year-old now, I know that my bladder isn't what it used to be. I used to be able to lock it down. I could drink a whole
You're
thing.
You're a wuss.
You can't, I can't tell you when. And there was an app. And I don't know if it still exists. There was an app called Run Go Pee. And it would tell you.
I've never
And it would tell
app.
You when.
Are
during
you looking
a movie,
it up right now?
You could go to the bathroom. It would say at 27 minutes and 30 seconds into this movie, you could run and go to the bathroom.
I really didn't feel like there was a spot in this movie, though.
There's no spot.
I was done with my.
It's called runpee.com.
I was done with my. I was done with my soda.
Yeah.
Like hour and a half into it, and the urge was definitely there, but it's like I can't miss anything.
You can't get out of your seat.
There's so much going on in this story that I can't. That it's going to be detrimental to me. Knowing what's going on if I leave to go to the bathroom for even a second.
So that kind of segues into a little bit about what our rating system is here on the One Seat Buffer podcast, which is, would you violate the one seat buffer to watch this movie again?
So I'm just gonna add a addendum here to this. I think with this particular movie, we need to add: would you be willing? Because you guys got spoiled. You guys, there was like nobody in your theater for some reason.
Steve and Tony sat side by side.
Would you have been willing to have been in the middle of the theater that had 100 people all crammed into little section?
Is it hot in the theater?
Yes.
What's the deodorant scape?
I'll tell you what. I broke the one seat buffer. Because of how we were situated, and I wanted Joel to have a nice end seat, and then he had a buffer, and then I had a buffer in between myself and Corey Daufeld, who was with us.
You
so
get a buffer.
The short answer is yes, of course you break the one-seat buffer to see this movie. It's the biggest movie of this summer. It's going to be the highest-grossing movie of all time. You got to break it. Now, if you can afford to break it and sit next to somebody you know, that's a plus.
But if
it's a stranger,
I'd like to say you were definitely the best one seat buffer I ever had.
Thank you. We had no awkward like armrest fight because
you guys just flat up
right
held hands.
Side locked down.
I'm just kidding.
We
straight up rolled each other through the sad parts of the movie.
I'm all out of love.
I'll tell you this. I really think that this is just one of those movies that people are going to keep coming to see. And from
I'm definitely seeing it again.
Yeah, I think for the sake of the film business, you know, they always tell us that, well, the movie business was down this year. And sometimes I think, how is that possible when you have movies that are making billions of dollars all the time?
They're costing so much money. That's why.
A lot of money. And then, Travis, I want you to tell everybody that's going to listen to the One Seat Buffer podcast. They come to the beautiful Palmstown Movie Theater. They see Avengers Infinity War. They pay $9, $10, $11, $12, $13, however much they pay. How much money are you making from each ticket sold to this?
Not as much as you would think.
Right.
It's like pennies. It's like you may make like a nickel or 20 cents.
It's less than a dollar on most tickets. I mean, there are the occasional ticket, like if a movie's run a long time, when we get to the end
like Jumanji, you killed.
When we got to Jumanji, I think we were making maybe $1 or $2 on the tickets at the end of that run. But when you come to this movie opening night, we're probably making, I mean, on the $11 ticket for the 3D, we're probably, I mean, the actual cost of running the movie probably outweighs the actual amount of money.
So you're making all your money tonight off concessions.
Pretty much everything that we made tonight was off concessions.
So that's the thing, right? I mean, I don't want the movie business to struggle because I've loved going to the movies forever, ever since my dad would take us in to see R-rated movies that we shouldn't see when we were too young, like Terminator 2, Judgment Day. So, yes, the movie business, I don't know if an Infinity War helps it. I think it does. I mean, I think when you have these studios, because here's the other thing you have to remember when you're looking at the landscape, the film landscape, and you see a Marvel and a Disney and a DC and a Warner Brothers, you kind of have to understand if you go about 2,000, 5,000 feet up in the air, you can see that they're all sort of conglomerates and they own a lot of different studios. So when you say Disney or Marvel, there's about 10 to 15 to 20 other little offshoots and subsidiaries. So when you have a movie that's going to make $1 billion, hopefully, if anything, that allows them to say, you know what, Wes Anderson, you want to make Isle of Dogs movie, which I think is maybe Fox Searchlight. I don't know for sure. But I hope that that's where it can have a positive effect, is they're allowing creative people to make movies because they know that they can bank on some of these cash cows.
Yeah, and even you just saying Marvel or Disney right there, Marvel, Disney, Pirates of the Caribbean, all of those, that's all the same thing. That's literally all the same company.
Right. Simba could have shown up in Infinity War. They could have, at this point, Steve, the Fantastic Four could roll. They could have rolled in.
And which one? Michael Chiklis or?
I love Chicky. Chicky. We call him Chicky. But they could have now.
Chris Evans. I mean, Chris Evans could have turned back into.
Right. Honestly, Wolverine could have showed up and
yes,
so sliced and diced his way through Thanos and called it a night.
Well, and I think that this is a really good segue into the other thing we like to talk about on the One Seat Buffer podcast, which is the trailers. You know, we like to talk about the trailers and. This is a movie where those people, those studios spent a ton of money to be in this trailer situation because this is some prime advertising.
Unless you're Disney, then you just pop all your ones in there.
Yeah, but that's okay because
Was there a not Disney property trailer? I can't remember.
I don't think so, but that's okay. Yeah. But because I honestly didn't know, and I'm ticked at myself for not knowing this, I didn't know that Venom was a thing. I didn't know that that was coming out.
Interesting.
And
Sony Marvel.
It could be one of the biggest Tom Hardy fans on the planet. Like, I just think he's.
You know, there's a lot of early reviews about it already, and I just got to say, there is 2 minutes of footage that you people have seen, and you're already saying how this is going to be the worst film ever made.
Well, the thing that I thought was cool from the trailer is. I mean, it's almost like a Jekyll and Hyde story, which absolutely. I think is one of the coolest old stories around.
In the comic book pages, I mean, it's. I mean, they're doing it justice as far as I can tell in the trailer because Eddie Brock, the character that Tom Hardy's portraying, and the symbiote Venom, they're two totally separate things. They fight with each other inside the head of the. Of the host all the time, and so I mean it's not. So,
and we're the,
it's
the
very much Jekyll.
We're the symbiotes, whatever. Which I'm not spoiling anything. If you go on YouTube and watch the trailer, well, that's what you're going to see.
Symbiote.
But were they originally formed to be some sort of healing, cure Alzheimer's type thing, or was it?
No,
they've always been a weapon.
No, in the comics, they were actually. It was to be nerdy for a second. Jonah Jameson's son was actually an astronaut. Launched into space and actually came in contact with the symbiote and it stowed away on his ship.
Ah.
It's an alien entity is basically
okay.
What it is and came back to Earth.
I thought it was maybe one of those things.
So I'm not really sure by looking at the trailer, I'm not really sure what they use it for because it's in a lab and it's in a box.
I was born in the dark.
I just kept waiting for Tom Hardy.
Keeps saying that they're like, oh, he's just using the Bane voice. Totally
that's just his voice. Yeah. Like,
well, I don't think he's doing the Venom voice.
No, that's like James Earl Jones doing the Venom
right,
voice.
He's doing the Eddie.
Is it really?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
It's
Darth Vader Venom.
It's just very deep compared to.
I was born in the darkness.
So we had Venom, and we had, and I'm just trying to remember. Of course, we had Venom,
Incredibles 2,
Incredibles 2, and
I'm actually really stoked.
I'm stoked about
the
that.
Next Fantastic Beast thing, and Johnny Depp was there.
Was he in that?
And Solo.
Oh.
That is...
I'm on the fence, guys.
That is the movie that was a movie, and then they said goodbye, directors, and they brought in Opie.
Opie.
So Ron Howard's directed it?
Ron Howard finished and reshot, and we don't know what we're going to get, but I'll tell you this. This was a new trailer.
The trailer was fantastic.
This is a new trailer for Solo.
I'm very hyped for that.
I'm not on the fence anymore, though. I know that Ron Howard had a hand in it.
Well, he took it over.
Sorry.
Now, Travis is shaking his head. Did you not see the trailer yet, this new one?
I don't watch trailers.
Oh, of course he doesn't.
So,
but I'll tell you
how about Childish Gambino playing Lando Calrissian?
Richie Cunningham is directing Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Donald Glover, Childish Gambino. As Lando.
He now has the three greatest characters of all time. He's his own Donald Glover, who's hilarious.
Right.
He's a Childish Gambino, which is awesome. And he's Lando freaking Calrissian, which is the greatest name of my childhood in movies. Billy D. Williams is my hero when I was growing up.
Yeah. You guys are all looking at me funny because I don't watch trailers. I don't watch trailers because if I watched every trailer, I would see every trailer. And Every movie would be ruined. I mean, if you see every single trailer they release for Fantastic Beasts or Solo or, I mean, Avengers, it's going to ruin the movie. I mean, it inevitably will ruin the movie, and I have too much access to them. I will see all of them.
I don't mind watching trailers. I just don't put a lot of I don't put a lot behind them because I don't want a trailer to make or break a movie for me.
Yeah, you know it's a Ron Howard movie though because Clint Howard is in the cast.
Of course. Well, of course he is. He's Solo. In like 500 Ron Howard Solo. Projects.
If there's an alien though, it's got to have Clint Howard in it. Isn't that what he's famous for from Star Trek when he was like a tiny kid?
Oh, Next Generation.
Yeah. I think he was original. He was like a tiny kid. He's just weird and ugly, so they put him in Star Trek.
Yeah. Here's what you can rest assured though, that certain companies, Marvel, do a better job than others with trailers because you could have seen each and every trailer and vignette and social media clip, and you would not know what happens during the final act of Avengers Infinity War. That being said, Batman versus Superman, you get the big bad ruined, you get the Trinity coming together, and you kind of maybe didn't know that the Superman was going to happen. Marvel, think, again, it's almost to the fact where Deadpool's making fun of DC in a trailer. Now, I will say that I've limited myself to one Deadpool trailer because I do want to just come and enjoy that one.
I've watched every single one of them. I cannot help it. The Bob Ross one. The
Reach for the Sky.
the not done CGI one. I can't help but watch all of them. They're amazing.
Yeah, going to back to your thing with Marvel being like really good at trailers. That being said, I did see every trailer for the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 movie, and I will tell you that I think every single trailer ends up in the first 5 minutes of that entire movie. Like, you could watch every single one of them, and all you missed was the first 5 minutes.
Right.
That's true. That's true.
Which, that opening credit scene of Guardians 2 with little baby Groot just dancing around, I can watch that scene over and over and over again.
But like you were going to, I had... By watching the trailers, I had no idea. I mean, parts in the beginning, middle, and end, I had no idea would show up in the movie by watching the trailers. The trailers don't spoil anything.
No. And I will say, and it's because I'm maybe biased, but I had a lot of joy when they go to Wakanda, but an even better reaction for me because I loved Guardians of the Galaxy and the second Guardians of the Galaxy. It was just so great seeing them again.
And how they integrated that entrance with the way that those standalone movies felt. That's what I really give the Russo brothers credit for that.
Perfect. It was so fun having the Guardians. And I know that, again, we're going to see, you know, this universe shift with Marvel. And we don't know what's going to happen. We know that there's an Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Phase 4.
Yay. Phase 4. We know that there's a Captain Marvel.
There's a new Spider-Man coming out this fall.
Is it this fall?
I think so.
I feel like that's got to be at least a year or two.
I feel like I just read it.
Just had Spider-Man in 17, right?
Into 17.
I think they pushed that forward. I think that
Interwebs.
Black Panther 2, I think, as well, they have pushed that one forward, so that one's a year out.
Wow. Yeah, so you would think in today's world we have technology that could tell us that real quick.
I don't know what their calendar is. I know that the timelines can
release. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, November 2018.
Oh, that's animated.
Dun, dun, dun.
But it's got Liev Schreiber in it.
Yeah.
That's an animated version of Spider-Man.
I think that's outside of the
universe. Jake Johnson, Nick Miller from New Girl is Peter Parker.
I think the other thing that happened is DC starting to release movies, the superhero market got kind of like overwhelmed.
Flooded.
So Marvel had this grand scheme of like exactly when they were going to release everything. And then DC kind of came in and was like, nope, we're not going to let you like get all the money from all these superhero movies. Right. And Marvel decided that rather than going the same way that they were, they kind of readjusted things. They've changed their timelines a little bit. They've cut a couple movies. They've added a few more movies.
Well, even this movie was pushed back a week. It wasn't supposed to be released until next weekend.
Yeah, it was moved forward a week because Deadpool was moved. Like, they announced the Deadpool release date, and they're like, you know what? We want a little bit more time without Deadpool because Deadpool is going to – pick a lot of our audience when that one releases.
I think Deadpool tackles a different audience altogether, though.
Sure. Totally. Here's what we know about Phase 4. I'm just reading this. So we know that Ant-Man and the Wasp and Captain Marvel. Avengers 4 completes the Infinity War story, leads into Phase 4, which kicks off with Spider-Man sequel in July 2019. And
Guardians 3 in there?
There's a Guardians 3 that is currently being written. So it's been said that a couple of these Phase 4 movies will help set up the next 10 to 20 years. But yeah, so here's the thing. We got a lot more Marvel to come. That's for sure.
I think if they just keep printing gold like they are printing money.
Yeah, because I mean every Spider-Man movie made money. I mean even the bad ones.
I mean I'm obviously biased because I've been a comic book fan for a long time, but it's like these movies don't get boring to me at all. And there's been a lot of complaints in the news. I think James Cameron was the one that said that he thinks that
he's still ticked that his ex-wife beat him for the Academy Award with Hurt Locker.
He thinks that comic book movies are a dead thing. And
Avatar was so great.
Yeah. Well, I can't. Okay, hold on. I can't.
Zoe Saldana.
I honestly didn't think that Avatar was a great movie, but I have to give it a little bit of love because my brother-in-law is working on Avatar 2 and Avatar 3
So I can't
badmouth it.
That's okay.
Just because of family ties, but I can say that I don't.
My mom's cousin was on the Abyss special effects team.
I can't say I didn't enjoy the movie.
Yeah. No, listen, Avatar did a lot for 3D films. Yeah. I mean, when you saw it in IMAX 3D like I did, that was the first movie that I thought, this is how it's supposed to be.
You were immersed. Sex from a tail. This is great.
You were immersed in that world. And then I'll tell you this right now. I'm going to admit it. I don't know which one it was, but the Michael Bay Transformers, there's a sequence in Chicago where they're falling, and I was IMAXing it, and I thought, and I hate to keep saying that because I love the XL here at the Palms way better, but I thought, like, this is what it's for. This is what it's for. It's shot in 3D.
To make Michael Bay tolerable.
It's not transferred. You know? That makes sense when you shoot these movies.
Please
and
make
you don't,
transform
you don't render it back.
How does Anthony
3D?
Hopkins end up in that franchise? I'm sorry. I don't. I hate
There's too many Transformers movies. The amount of Transformers
And they're like 2 hours and 45 minutes long.
Yeah.
But to get back to the James Cameron thing and saying that the comic book movies have run their course and stuff, I honestly think they could go for a long time. And
of course
they will. They keep making them interesting. They don't make them to where they're oversaturated. I think they have a good science to it where they release X amount a year. They know that that's probably the mark they need to hit without oversaturating you and not making you not want to go see a comic book movie.
And I don't think we'll have Marvel stubbing their toe in the future. I do want to say, as we start to wrap up the One Seat Buffer Avengers Infinity War Deluxe,
we should maybe do our detail one like right after we record this one, since it's all fresh in our minds. I'm just saying that.
I do want to say that you are going to walk in with expectations and you are going to walk out and feel like, wow, that's my reaction. I think I put on Facebook to quote the great Joey Lawrence, whoa, because that's how I felt. Of course, there's something that happens after the credits, so don't be a fool. Stay and watch it.
No mid-credits, but definitely stay till the full credits roll.
No mid-credits, but definitely don't get up and leave. I mean, we should all know that by now.
Well, yeah, it's a Marvel movie. What are you going to do?
How many post-mid-whatever-credit scenes do you think? Like, you could put all of those together from 10 years, and starting with Iron Man, and you could have almost a whole movie, right?
You can walk through the Marvel Universe the Marvel Cinematic Universe in the last 10 years just by watching the end credit scenes.
And that's what I come back to, you know, this connective tissue. All of those scenes, a lot of which you saw them and you had to Google it. I don't know what that meant. I don't know who that was. I don't know what was going on. It's all coming to a head in Avengers Infinity War and then whatever this movie is that comes after it. So That's just it, Travis. I mean, we need to get like a neon light that comes on and says, stay, stay, stay in your seat, right? You see people come out too early.
You know, I used to tell people, like, be very avid, like, no, stay, stay. There's something at the end. There's something at the – at this point in time, there's been enough of them. When people walk out, I'm just smiling. Nod. I'm like, yep, you had a good time at the movie? Okay.
Don't walk out until Travis turns the lights on.
Or the screen starts to roll back up. When it comes to Marvel movies, you want to stay there until the curtain – I mean, we have this fantastic curtain. You want to stay until the curtain goes down. If there's still something playing on the screen, you stay because there's still something interesting coming.
And yes. I'm just saying right now, I've heard that there is quite the post-credit scene in Book Club.
Oh, yes. Book Club.
I think it's just a reenactment of Annie Hall. Isn't it? It could be. Woody Harrelson or Woody Harrelson. Woody Allen comes out of nowhere with his daughter wife.
Oh, my gosh.
Murphy Brown makes it.
This movie has put me in a dark place. I'm going to be honest. Yeah. This movie put me in a dark spot.
It's a heavy-handed film.
Murphy Brown makes a cameo.
Thanos shows up as to be expected, and all of the hype for these years of Thanos, he's finally here. He did not disappoint. No. I can't think of anything, and I'm very surprised that I don't have anything super constructive. Not constructive, critical, excuse me, super critical to say, because I was watching this waiting to be able to say, that's what I didn't care for that much. Even Scarlet Witch, who is one of the Olsen sisters, right? Her sisters are Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Yes.
This is the Olsen sister whose name I forget. She plays Scarlet Witch. That's her name, right? The character's name.
Oh.
She surprised me.
Wanda Maximoff. Whoa, that is an Olsen sister?
Wanda Maximoff. Was that her?
That's her name.
That's her not Scarlet Witch name.
That's her not secret name, so Spider-Man would say.
That was a great line. She really impressed me. I would almost give her like a sleeper nod as far as...
Well, and that's what I mean. I mean, the secondary characters in this movie even made it for me. It was just amazing how they just they held the movie together like they were the main character in the movie.
Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes.
It's almost like you know what the heck you're talking about.
She got tired of her sisters paying the bills back in the day. I know they're still rich because whatever, the Olsen twins have a clothing line or whatever.
They get made fun of on Fuller House all the time.
They get made fun of on Fuller House.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Fuller House podcast.
I could do one. My 4-year-old daughter would be right here with me.
We're going to dissect the Rush Hour Renegades for 3 straight hours, which was the radio show hosted by Uncle Jesse and Joey on Full House.
I thought that was like the 4th Rush Hour movie with Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker.
The Rush Hour Renegades never wore headphones when they were on the radio. Avengers Infinity War, 2 hours and 40 minutes of fun, of depth, surprising, and taking you to this final act, and that's sort of like the back 15, 20 minutes of this. Leading up to that, you're having a good time, and then you got to sort of batten down the hatches, because what happens in that last 15 to 20 minutes, you're not prepared for.
It's intense.
Now, Steve is our resident expert in the source material. So were you?
Somebody out there stayed home on Friday night.
We toe the line of spoilerville. You had some thoughts coming into this. Did it do what you thought it would do without giving away what we know happens?
I think when I was texting you the other day, I think 2 out of the 5
things.
Scenarios happened.
Okay.
And the other 3, I was way off.
And that's okay. That's what you want out of a movie.
I was way off. I was very surprised. As a comic book fan going into it, I was very surprised at some of the scenes that I saw in the
outcome. I also couldn't believe that Adam Sandler has a cameo.
Yeah, that was
very
pretty cool.
What a way to promote Hotel Transylvania 3.
I do have to say I completely nerded out, though, because in the Infinity Gauntlet storyline, it's not a spoiler at all, but they keep making reference to Thanos being able to snap his fingers and ending half the world's population, which I thought was a great nod to the comic. It just shows how powerful that character is, and I think Josh Brolin does an amazing job. You believe that he could do this if he really wanted to.
Can I make a confession? I didn't know what a gauntlet was. I didn't know that that's what that was called. Like, and that would make sense, throwing down the gauntlet. I thought it was just the MTV series. Like, that's really all. I'm kidding. I honestly didn't know that that's what that was. I didn't know that that was the actual gauntlet. And I know now. I should have paid more attention to my LARPing roommates in college.
But I would have preferred a riding glove that he just sewed the stone onto or whatever.
Six-fingered man, right? Style.
So please consider
another Christopher Guest reference in the podcast.
Please consider seeing Avengers Infinity War.
Consider, just do it.
No matter where you go to see this, we hope it's at the Palms 10 Movie Theater in Muscatine. Don't be surprised, Travis, you're in the business. Don't be surprised when you show up on a Saturday or you show up on a Sunday, even if it's not this week, and guess what? There's people at the theater. Like, it's not going to be a movie that a week or two later it's slowing down, right?
I don't think so. I mean, the only time that I would imagine that you're going to notice a significant drop is once Deadpool comes out, and that's going to be it's just going to be a lot more people going to see that one. I think that this one is going to be the kind of movie that could potentially stick in the theater for if it's a 2-week theater, it could be in the theater for a month or two.
I'm going to make a prediction right now.
Here, I could imagine it being here for like 2 months. I'm going to guess. 16
weeks. That's my prediction. 16 weeks.
I'm going to go with 12.
We'll have to get back later.
I wish you people would just say the number of months that is, so I don't have to do the math because it's very late. Central Standard Time. It's very late, and I can't do the math. Here's what I know. It was great. We have a lot of other blockbusters to come.
I say that people are still seeing this in the middle of the summer when all the summer it'll
be coming out on Blu-ray and
it'll still
be in the theater.
I still think that this will be a movie people are like, oh, I'm going to go see it for a seventh time or an eighth time.
I think there's going to be a lot of theaters that still have it 16 weeks from now. I think our theater will only have it for 12. So
when does this come out on Blu-ray and digital?
4 months?
4th of July?
Probably. Somewhere around there.
It's typically like 113 days or something like that.
Stop it with the damn math. What are we doing to me?
4 months.
That's like actually
divide
like,
that
that's
by
like
30.
That's like
4 months.
I think it's between 110 and like 116 days.
I don't care.
Think about when they're
it's like Parks and Rec.
Will my third child be born by the time this comes out?
You have a kid?
Yes.
What? Did you just spoil this for everybody?
Spoiler alert, baby Thanos is due in October.
Please.
And he's ready to
please,
poop everywhere.
Please name your baby
she.
Mad Titan.
the white wolf is ready.
What bet do we need to make with you in order for you to, like, what bet do you need to lose in order for you to name your kid Thanos?
Here's please. The bet. I'll give
Thanos
that kid
looking soul.
I'll give that kid the middle name Fridley if I can get into a movie for life and their life.
Thanos
and their life?
Loken soul.
I'll see what I can do.
That's pretty good deal. This feels like a fantasy football, like get a tattoo bet. I hope this happens.
I hope it does too.
We can ramble on forever.
Yeah, let's wrap up. So you've been listening to the One Seat Buffer Pod. Jeez Louise, it's late. We're not even going to recut that. You've been listening to the One Seat Buffer Podcast brought to you and presented by the Palms 10 Movie Theater. Thanks to the Fridley Theaters and Travis, who's the boss. We also Tony Danza. Thanks to Tony Danza, who does not show up. And
who's the boss
War.
Now,
he
Tony?
Showed up.
University of Dubuque alums.
Yeah. If only. Yeah. Anyways, please go see Avengers: Infinity War. It's PG-13. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes. And if you've watched even some of the Marvel movies, you owe it to yourself to go to this one and see it with people. See it with friends. You know, I don't know if it's a date movie. Is it a date movie? I don't know.
It's intense, man. I mean, unless you're like, you know, your girl or guy or whomever is into it. Like, my wife would hate this movie. Like, it's long. It's longer than she wants to spend sitting in a movie theater.
Right.
And two, it's just she has no interest in this type of topic. Like, we watched The Big Sick the other night. And I think even that was almost too long for her. Like, she lost interest in it. So I think the length alone, not just the source material, makes it not a date movie. That's a long-ass time to be sitting watching a movie thinking, does this person like me or not?
Does my date have to be enjoying the movie?
Yeah,
because I will be enjoying the movie.
Right. Yeah, you could.
And
could
those dates work out so well.
Here's $10. Go get some popcorn.
And I do want to throw a shameless plug in. I'm hoping that we get this podcast up, that you can see A Survivor's Guide to Prison on May 3rd here at the Palms 10, which is produced by Muscatine native Steve DeVore. It looks to be very good. Travis.
He has a point though. With not enjoying the movie, because then you have somebody to go and fill up that soda that you need to get.
That's what I said.
Through.
Here's $10. Go get some popcorn.
This is Survivor's Guide to Not a Second Date. Is what this is.
Hey, I know you don't have a vested interest in this Thanos guy, but could you go get me some more popcorn, baby? Right. I'll give you a recap. Oh, there's a whole bunch of stuff, and there's a talking raccoon, and there's a tree person, and then there's a sassy Spider-Man. You missed all that when you went to get my refill. All right. Thank you for listening to the One Seat Buffer podcast. My name is Tony Tone.
Are we going
to
do one? I'm Joel Krause. Are we going to do one that's got some more details and talk spoilers?
I don't know. I feel like I need to get to bed. Okay. But I don't even know if I want to talk spoilers, because I feel like, again, you're going to – if you haven't seen this movie, whenever you find this podcast, you've probably seen it. Who's not going to know what happened?
That's fine. I'm just asking. I'm Joel Krausar, asking overly complicated questions.
And I'm Steve Truitt, resident comic book nerd.
And I'm Travis Gadel, the manager here at the Palms.
And I totally forgot Travis's last name until he just said it again.
Gadel. He'll fill
one
your
of these
popcorn
days,
up.
I'm going to get it right. All right.
Is our next movie Deadpool? Is that the next one?
When does it come out?
Next weekend.
Next weekend. The 25th?
It's next weekend? Yeah. It can't not.
Oh,
it's
sorry.
June.
No.
It's got to be June.
No, it's
May.
June.
May.
It's May?
May
17th. Oh, I forgot about May.
I just
May
was
is the month.
Just testing you.
Would Solo be first?
Solo is May 25th. I think Deadpool's May 17th.
Shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
I also want to see a variety of other movies, and some that I don't want to say out loud because I should have seen A Quiet Place by now.
I want to see it really badly.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it either.
We had this whole span of parenthood that kind of came upon us where we couldn't.
Yeah.
Is it I Feel Pretty? Is that our next one?
No.
Amy Schumer.
These have all been out too long. I think I wish they were getting Isle of Dogs. I don't think that's going to happen. But hopefully, between Deadpool 2 and Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom and Solo,
what about Life of the Party? Are we seeing Life of the Party?
We could do a podcast after A Survivor's Guide to Prison.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for listening. One Seat Buffer podcast. And enjoy the rest of your day or night, depending on what time you're listening to this.
Bye!